Good morning, everyone. Good morning. In the grace of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, the peace and the fellowship of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all this morning. It is so, so good to see each and every one of you all this morning, to see your faces. You brighten up each of our lives together. And I give thanks to God for each and every one of you. There's so many different things going on in the life of our church right now. And we have all of our communication outlets that we do with e-news and in the bulletin. Just want to always invite you to remember to look through all of that. Today is especially an important Sunday for the life of our church. We come to the end of our stewardship campaign, and this is our commitment Sunday. And so, you know, we join you, and I join you prayerfully for all of the commitments that we make to the church this morning. And I thank all of the finance team and the stewardship team and Ward Wilson for all of their help. We really, really do appreciate it. I want to invite you now to stand and to greet each other and to share the peace of Christ with one another. It is so good to just appreciate one another and to bless one another. And I want to invite you now to bow your heads with me as we bless Christ and give thanks to Him. Almighty God, we thank you for the gift of community, of fellowship, the brotherhood and sisterhood that we share, and the knowledge that you, Jesus, are with us here in this place, giving us hope. Hope amidst all that goes on in our life. And so, Lord, as you move among us, speak to our hearts as we worship you this morning. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
I invite you to stand as you are able for our call to worship. The God who is greater than we will ever understand.
Is not able to be found among us.
The God who is more loving than our hearts dare imagine.
Gives us more grace than we ever realize.
The God who is wiser than we will ever know.
Teaches us all we need to become God's children.
Let us worship and sing praise to God. As we continue to worship, let us responsibly recite the Psalter lesson. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever.
Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever.
Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, whose greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall laud your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts.
On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate.
All the Lord's ways are just.
All the Lord's doings are kind.
The Lord is near to all who call.
To all who call upon the Lord in truth.
The Lord fulfills the desire of all the faithful.
And hears their cry and saves them.
All who love the Lord preserves.
All the wicked, the Lord destroys.
My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord.
Let all flesh bless God's holy name forever and ever.
Thank you.
may be seated. And as you are seated, our children are invited to come forward for a message with Pastor Parker.
Hey guys, how are you guys doing today?
Good.
Good, good. Well, I brought something to show you. I brought some plants. Do we see these? So this is a special plant, and it's called an air plant. Do you know what it's missing? It is missing water. It does have air. It is missing the ground and soil and water, but what part of a plant goes into that? The roots, yeah. It doesn't have any roots, and that's why it's called an air plant, because it just blows around and it doesn't have any roots. But this plant is different. You see how long and windy those roots go? Isn't that crazy? And if this little plant, just with one leaf, has such long and windy roots, can you imagine how big a tree's roots are? They probably go out forever, right? And Jesus tells us a parable that kind of is like this, because if we're like the air plant and we have no roots, if the wind comes, what do you think happens? It just blows around. But if we're rooted and have deep, deep roots, we can withstand all sorts of things. And so any worries and troubles that come our way, we can stay true and hold still and strong. And Jesus tells us to be like that, that the sower that throws out seed onto the ground and takes good root will hold strong despite anything, all of the worries and troubles that come our way. Does that make sense? Yeah, so we want to have good roots in Christ. So let's pray together and then we can go to Children's Church. Dear Lord, we pray that you will give us hope abundantly so that we might remain rooted and grounded in you. Despite all of the troubles and worries that come our way, give us hope to maintain our ground. In your name we pray, amen. All right, you guys have fun.
We often think that God is out there somewhere, distant and uncaring. That's simply not true. God hears our hearts. God sees our struggles. God walks with us as we try to be faithful disciples. Let us come to the one who is as close as the very breath we take in this moment to confess the brokenness of our lives. Let us pray together. We are so easily confused by what the world tells us, watching God, that we forget the stories of faith we heard as children. We are so fearful of tomorrow. We are not aware of your spirit with us today. We are so busy wondering what if or suppose we cannot hear the promises you whisper to us. So once again, gracious God, have mercy on us. You know our hearts so well. Touch them with your grace. You see our deepest fears. Heal them with your peace. You hear our secret longings. Speak to them of your hope. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The one who searches our broken hearts has found the way to mend them and make us new people. The good news is that everything God has done in Christ is for us, that we might be made whole. With kindness and justice, God makes us new people. We will sing our thanks through all eternity. Great is God, and greatly to be praised.
Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You who are the creator and sustainer of all things, the one who hovered over the surface of the unmade waters and calmed the raging seas. You formed galaxies and filled them with billions of stars and planets, and yet you count us, human beings, chief among your creations. You made a covenant with Abraham, who had nothing to gain in and of himself, had no reason to be chosen, and yet you covenanted with him anyway. You heard the cry of your people in Egypt when they were small and weak, and set them free and led them out and gave them purpose. And you too have come to us in our distress, having become human and leading us in an exodus from our slavery to sin and death, a mighty act of grace that established your church, giving us freedom and purpose to work alongside you for good. And yet, Lord, we struggle, if we are honest, to see it. Sin and death continue to reign over much. Cycles of violence and greed and all manner of injustices surround us, and we at times struggle to maintain hope. We wonder if you hear our prayers, and we even begin to doubt your capacity to redeem all things. But Lord, we trust, for you have been so faithful in the past. You did not leave your people in slavery to Egypt. You did not leave them to wander the wilderness. And you did not leave us in our sins, but you sent your very self to deal with our problem. You have been more faithful than we could have ever asked or imagined, and our short memories often forget. But we trust that you will redeem all things, that you will heal us, that you will repair what is broken, clean what is dirty, and in your humble grace, even lead us as your church to be a small part of it. Indeed, Lord, we long for the days when justice will flow like a mighty river, washing all of the injustices away. We yearn for a day when we can boldly declare that death has no sting any longer, and grief would be but a distant memory. But as we wait, give us hope. Not a hope that leaves us where we are, Lord, but a hope that propels us through this age as we prepare for the next. A hope that strengthens us so that we might bear one another's burdens, rejoice with those who are rejoicing, and weep with those who are weeping. May we proclaim good news to the poor, release to the captives, and fill us with hope so that we can continue to follow you in bringing hope to others. We are so thankful, Lord, that you never abandon us, and in fact, are ever present and even draw us together through your Spirit with believers of every nation and tongue. And in an act of that unity, we join them now, praying as you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I would like to invite Brad Blaine, our trustees chair, to come forward and tell you about the stewardship campaign. And he will be followed by Elizabeth Hughes, our surrogate Ward Wilson for the morning.
Good morning. My name's Bradford Blaine, like Parker said, and I've been serving as the chairman of your trustees for almost 2 years. We as trustees are charged with maintaining this 60-year-old campus while updating it to meet today's worship needs and the church mission needs. Knowing the financial resources we have available to complete these needs makes pledging an important part of our financial health. Our congregation is a very generous membership and contributed to several repair and expansion needs for the past 2 years. Naming a few of these would be the remodeling of the double room and turning into the atrium room. If you haven't been there, please make an effort to look at it. Remodeling the activities room and the old children's library for rooms for our growing youth program. Our nursery, though we had a nice one, needed some expansion, so we had to take another room and add to our nursery capacity. It's a very nice room. I encourage you to go down there and take a look at it. It's got a nice mural on the wall, and really, really looks like a nice place to have babies. We also have put on two new roofs in the last 2 years for two of our houses. We've installed new floors and also painted the walls in our daycare wing. And we also have a new director that's been there about 6 months. And with the combination of those three items, I encourage you to go down and see how bright and encouraging and inviting that our daycare wing is now. You'd be quite impressed. And we're presently in the process of repairing our Laramie house and also the pavilion, just from years of neglect. So we're working on all those. Many of these projects were able to be completed because of our generous members giving special contributions and combining that money with our building funds that we have in our budget and reserved. Seldom do I walk into the campus that there's not an opportunity. Even this morning, when I showed up for the first service, I turned around and you see there's two lights out in here. So there's always an opportunity. never think we don't have enough to do. our known needs for the next year include updating and expanding our building security systems, hopefully resolving the ceiling leaks in the activities building. We're taking a different approach to that since patching a roof didn't solve the problem. The removal of even more of the dying trees in our parking lot that have lived their life. Parking lot repairs, and there's always the ongoing concern with the HVAC units in the roofs in this building and campus. So your pledges allow us to complete our responsibilities and promises to you. So please pledge. Thank you.
Everybody. I'm so happy to see the Gwynns. You are mentioned in my remarks, and I feel like when I gave them this morning, that magically made you appear today. I'm Elizabeth Hughes. I'm not Ward Wilson. I'm not even on the stewardship committee. First of all, Ward's mother, Natalie Wilson, was my boss for 30 years. And one of my dearest friends, and I think Ward thought that because she bossed me for 30 years, he can boss me now. But Ward is in Maine, and so he correctly understood that I would have no problem getting up in front of this congregation and asking for money, asking for your support. When we joined this church, we obligated ourselves to support it, not just with our prayers, but with our talent, our time, and our treasure. So a few years ago, I was sitting out there, and Bishop Gwynn was giving a sermon, and he made reference to his grandson, a child, who had come into some money somehow, whether it was gifted or found or whatever, and the point of the sermon was going towards what his grandchild had chosen to do with that. But before he got to that part, he just, as an aside, he just said, of course, after tithing, then he da-da-da-da-da. And it made an impression on me. I thought, wow, you know, this young kid, without thought, without consideration, knew that a portion of his treasure had to go to God, had to go to the church. We should all be so, like a Gwynn grandchild. Whatever your monetary blessing is that came into your possession, God can do more with it than you can. And that's part of what Ward was trying to orchestrate from Maine in setting up what he called a month of Sundays presentations of our ministries and all the great work that we do. He didn't show up for that, but he was still trying to show you all the good this congregation does amongst ourselves and in our community. We are making a difference, but we cannot do that without funding, and that, my friends, is our responsibility. So please fill out your pledge cards, encourage those who are not here today to fill out their pledge cards, and bring them to the altar or put them in the offering plate as it goes around. Thank you all.
Our ushers are now invited to come forward to receive the morning offering.
Christ, be in my thinking and my understanding.
Almighty God, pour out your Spirit upon us and upon this, our treasure, that we give joyfully to you, for we have been reminded this morning, you can do so much more with this than we ever could. And so bless it, Lord, so that your kingdom and you might be exalted in all of the heavens. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 and 13 through 17. Now, dear brothers and sisters, let us clarify some things about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and how we will be gathered to meet him. Don't be so easily shaken or alarmed by those who say that the day of the Lord has already begun. Don't believe them, even if they claim to have had a spiritual vision, a revelation, or a letter supposedly from us. Don't be fooled by what they say. For that day will not come until there is a great rebellion against God, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the one who brings destruction. He will exalt himself and defy everything that people call God and every object of worship. He will even sit in the temple of God, claiming that he himself is God. Don't you remember that I told you about all this when I was with you? As for us, we can't help but thank God for you, dear brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord. We are always thankful that God chose you to be among the first to experience salvation, a salvation that came through the Spirit who makes you holy and through your belief in the truth. He called you to salvation when we told you the good news. Now you can share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. With all these things in mind, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm and keep a strong grip on the teaching we passed on to you, both in person and by letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal comfort and a wonderful hope, comfort you and strengthen you in every good thing you do and say. This is the word of God for the people of God.
There are times in life when people come up to us and they start lavishing praise upon us. Oh my goodness, you are so wonderful. You're so smart. You are such a great teacher. And you wonder, or at least I do, maybe this is a little bit of a confession this morning. What are they trying to get at with all of this praise? Because they usually don't say this to me, right? And this was going on with Jesus as well there in his ministry. And the Pharisees, well, they were at it again, as they always were, always trying to trap Jesus. And they came to Jesus and they were saying all of those things. Oh, Jesus, you're such a great teacher. You're such a great rabbi. We're really so thankful for the wisdom that you give us poor folks. And so we are here to ask you a question today. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar? So they rolled that little bomb out there in the middle of the temple, and boy, was that a power-packed question for sure. Now, kind of the funny part about me that always sees a joke in just about everything is, you know, getting into a battle of wits with Jesus is just a losing proposition. And I was like, well, why would you do that? But they went on and did it. But Jesus had an answer for them, and we'll get to that very soon, I promise. that will be the rest of the story. Jesus, though, had something to say about that situation, and it was very much, I think, a situation that was akin to what was going on deeply within the heart of the church of Thessalonica as well. And Paul was addressing this too with the people, and he wanted to talk to them about a word of encouragement in the midst of all of their challenges. Now, Thessalonica, the church there, of course, they lived in a time that was really quite dark. Very, very dark. This was a time, in my reading of it, if I were living in that era, I would be tempted to experience despair from time to time. This was most likely the era of Caligula when this was written. You probably remember that name, if nothing else, that he wasn't a great guy, right? This was an emperor of Rome that maybe started out kind of okay, but then he went sideways really, really quickly. And he enjoyed, for the sport of it, for example, having his senators run out in front of his chariot while he chased them. He thought that was great sport. This was also an era where Nero followed thereafter. Persecution was certainly a thing in Thessalonica. In fact, Paul had to flee Thessalonica at one point, and he wrote these two letters to them, really, and they were quite similar to one another, to just encourage them and embolden their heart to keep their faith in Jesus. And yet, in the midst of their difficulties and despair, they did a really quite human thing. They hoped in a word that was kind of being passed around that Jesus had come back. And they were really excited about this. Oh, this is great news. And some of them even, they quit their jobs or they just stayed at home and it was like, hey, I don't have to worry about any of this anymore. This is great. And they got a little lazy in all of this. They also, though, lived in a world where the worship of the emperor was expected and very common. You would walk down Corinth, the streets of Corinth or Ephesus, or down the streets of Thessalonica. You would see in the street corner a great statue of the emperor there to remind you, there's Caligula, he is the Lord. We need to make sure that we worship him. We got to offer our prayers to them because he is the Son of God. And even with their money that they carried around in their coin purses, they were reminded of this very thing. They had these coins in Thessalonica they would have used, and on one side would have been the head, the resemblance of the father of the current emperor, and they would deify that emperor, of course, and then on the obverse there would be the current emperor, and the Latin would say, the Son of God. Can you imagine living in that kind of world? And the tensions that the church of Thessalonica would have felt. Everything was trying to push them to worship the Son of God, Caesar. And then, of course, we know who the real Son of God is, Jesus the Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And so Paul was acknowledging this to the people. Caesar is Lord? No. He is not the ultimate power in the world. Jesus is. But boy, oh boy, down in the grassroots of life, it sure seemed like it in Thessalonica and so many other different places, because the Caesar could control your life, could control your future, could control your fortunes, your safety, and your prosperity with just a stroke of a pen or a word. That was the power of Caesar. And it would almost seem like they fell into this mindset that Caesar has the last word over anything. Despair.
is a little bit like Caesar too. Despair has a similar end to the Caesars of this world, the kind of despair that our brothers and sisters in Thessalonica struggled with. Because you see, when we enthrone despair, we start to think this way. Evil has the last word, not Jesus Christ. Evil is stronger than good. And God just can't redeem this mess. And boy, oh boy, I think we can all identify with that sort of thinking from time to time in our lives. But the coinage that we keep needs to change. I was reminded a little bit this week. I was reminded when I was in my 20s and I was working at Greenview Hospital in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And every once in a while, you know, I would go get a soda pop at lunchtime or something from the pop machines there. And this was a time when you could still buy sodas with coins, not dollar bills or your credit card. And inflation is kind of crazy, isn't it? And so here I am, and I start plunking my coins into the thing, and I was kind of used to, you know, how they would do at the time. They would just count up what you were doing, and I just would watch the little display. And it kept on rejecting my coins, and I'm like, what in the world's going on here? And I would pull them out and stick them back in like a fool over and over and over again. And it's like, why isn't it going to take my coins? And then I looked down at it, and I realized, of course, this was in 2001, and they just introduced those gold dollar coins. And I was trying to put... They felt like a quarter to me, and I was trying to pay for a 50-cent pop with $2 worth of coins. It was so funny, but it's a little bit like despair, though, because despair grants power to that which is not God. Despair is not good coinage, for we as Christians to be carrying around in our own pockets or our persons, because it purchases nothing. All it does is enthrone futility and fear, the hopelessness of the era, and it can become the ruler of our own personal story if we are not jolted awake by the words of Paul and Jesus. Our brothers and sisters in Thessalonica, in their despair, they longed for a premature arrival of Jesus in their midst. They were looking for an escape. But in the midst of doing a very human thing, they forgot true hope that would sustain them deeply within their bones. And so Paul sees this. He makes the diagnosis, and he starts to speak a word of encouragement to them. Look, my brothers and sisters, stand firm on our true hope, our Lord and our Savior Jesus. Do not give up on him. Stand firm on the gospel that has been given to you by our Lord and Savior Jesus, and who has been given to me, whom I preach to you. Give your life fully to God, for he is the one who gives us true hope. Not the fake Caesar over there in Rome. Now that brings us back to Jesus. Now remember what I said, a battle of wits with Jesus is a little bit of a, I don't know if you really want to do it or not. But here is Jesus, and I want to just set the story for you, where these Pharisees start coming to Jesus and start telling their all of their wonderful compliments. They were standing on temple grounds. And so Jesus casually says, well, what is in your pocket? What is in your coin purse? And so they pull it out and they have it in their hand. And there's a part of me that I wonder, that would have been something similar to it. And you can see actually there's two heads there, the Father and then the Son. And I wonder if the Pharisees realized when he pulled it out of his pocket what he had really done, and if his head fell just a little bit because he recognized instantly his own hypocrisy. He had brought an idol into the house of the Lord, an image of Caesar into the temple. And Jesus very smartly says this, and this is kind of the John Hatton interpretation, at least for today. Jesus says, you know what? This is what God wants. Give to God your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, your treasure. Give it. That's what God desires from you. And then for Caesar, well, just let Caesar revel in his own idolatry and false power. That's not what we are about. For us, brothers and sisters, we have the gift of the sight of history in our lives. And we look back into the past and we see all kind of Caesars, do we not? And when Paul talks about Caesars, or when we read about emperors and say Revelation, these gospel writers are speaking to the great breadth of history of all of these awful leaders that have come and gone and disappeared in the dust. Emperors like Caligula and Nero, Ivan the Terrible, who killed his own son, Attila the Hun, or even just nearly 100 years ago, Adolf Hitler. Those are the Caesars of this world. But we soon are getting ready to enter into this glorious season of the church called Advent. And Advent is a time which we start to examine our lives and our heart and our mind, and we prepare for the coming of the Lord, the second advent of the Lord. And in fact, the history of the church has often said Advent's a little bit like that season of Lent, where we are repentant and we think about what's going on in our heart and we give it to God. We become aware of the coins that we carry in our pocket. Coins of despair. Coins of the world's power that claim falsely that they are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But that is not true. And that is the gospel that I hold to with all of my heart. And it has been given to us as brothers and sisters in Jesus. And so I echo the words of the Apostle Paul, that the Lord Jesus is the Lord, that he is returning, and that we watch and we wait patiently, and that we stand firm in what we know and in the gospel that has been given to us by our forebears and by Jesus. And that we align ourselves and give ourselves fully and completely to God. And let Caesar have all of the rest. All of the falsities of life. Now, if you remember, a couple of weeks ago, I was preaching about how the power of God, it's not our power, the power of Christ dwells deeply within us. I call us crackpots. You remember that? These cracked vessels that we are. But it illumines our lives and the church's life together. And it illumines the world. And you are vessels of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
It's not your power, it's not your word, but it is Jesus's. And the life that you live in the world is a life of hope, a life of resurrection, not a life of despair. I love some of the words that Sedong sang for us during the choir anthem. And I just want to share this with you. This is our Jesus, the Christ, that when hope has faded, when there is nothing left to cling to, when every pleasure of life is very jaded, every well that we go to is dry and we're parched of thirst for something good, Christ, the loving shepherd, draws me in with his kindness, draws you in with his kindness, and leads me from the desert to the streams of life. This is our Lord and our Savior, our hope and our foundation, Jesus, the Christ. And so I want to invite you to affirm and prayerfully sing our closing hymn. It's Standing on the Promises. It's a good old-fashioned hymn of the church. But within those words is an affirmation about how we align our lives to the throne of Jesus and not the throne of despair and not the throne of the world's Caesars, but to Jesus alone. Let us stand and sing together.
Oh,
There's something about that. It's so joyful. It just fills our hearts. We stand on the promises of God as we go out into the world. And so may the Lord, whose Spirit resides in you, the very power of God dwelling within you, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of joy, encourage you to hold strong to your faith, but also to share your faith, that good news, in a world that is full of despair. Go in the name of Jesus Christ, who calls you, and with his power. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.